Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis. Today I'm here with my guest, Dave Liddiment. How are you,
Hello.
Dave?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. It's great to have you on the
Excellent.
show.
No, thank
Can
you
you
for having me.
share a bit about yourself and what you do for everybody?
So I'm Dave. I run a company called Lamp Bristol, and we build software that builds successful startups. So I've been working in that for just over a decade now. We've got a few clients, and on the whole, quite enjoy it. Mainly it's from the development side, mainly it's PHP, mainly using Symfony and Laravel for project as well. And I suppose the theme of this podcast is static analysis. We do use static analysis, mainly PHP STAM, on all of the projects that we work on. And we found that incredibly beneficial. A lot of our projects are quite long-running projects. One of them is over a decade old, and another one's coming up to a decade. And working on long-running projects like that, there's been a lot of change. Business requirements have completely changed. The payment model for the business model for a lot of those projects has also changed. So there's the only constant is the thing that projects are constantly evolving and changing, and static analysis has definitely helped us keep things robust and working.
It's been a decade already for Lamp Bristol. That's
Indeed,
scary.
yeah, a bit
Wow.
more actually.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember being in the Lamp office. I think we did got DrupalCamp Bristol shirt on today. So I seem to think we did some events in the Lamp office and did some PHP Southwest and some PHP
Yeah, I
team
used to
events there as
do
well.
pre-pandemic. Yeah, pre-pandemic, I used to do these workshop events every month, which I keep meaning to pick up actually after the pandemic. But some of the because you did some stuff, didn't you, for them a while back? I'm
Yeah,
sure you did some training things. That was
that's right.
years
Yeah,
ago. Time flies. Yeah.
it is a while ago, but yeah, interesting you say about business requirements changing because I worked on a few projects where people had to go online really quickly because of the pandemic, and particularly things where we were doing events, and then suddenly the events ought to go onto Zoom, not similar to the meetups, I guess, to be fair. And yeah, we had to pivot and change things, on a dime, I guess, very quickly. But yeah, it's really interesting. But yeah, we know each other through the PHP local community as well. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that quickly.
Yeah, sure. So I help organize something called PHP Southwest. We meet in Bristol, in real life. The second Wednesday of every month. And we have like a variety of speakers talking about all kinds of things, either PHP or the wider PHP ecosystem. So if you're listening to this and you are in Bristol or can get to Bristol on the second Wednesday of the month, then do look us up, PHP Southwest. We're on Meetup. And it'd be great to have you come along. And if you want to share any ideas, then we'd love to have you either speak or host a Q&A session or whatever. Come along to PHP Southwest.
Yeah, just to wrap up this thought quickly. So the Lamp Bristol office and PHP Southwest is I'm being in the Lamp office with you, me, and Kat, I think it was, doing the website a while
Oh
ago.
God, yes, yeah, that was some time ago. Yeah,
That
yeah, yeah.
came back up recently because I was speaking to somebody about Tailwind CSS, and I was trying to think like what's one of the first projects I did with it, and that was probably one of the first, and it's on like Tailwind 0.4, like when it had been out literally for a month or something. So that was a weird flashback that we had recently.
We probably needed to come back and upgrade it for now, as I haven't touched that for some years.
Styles still work. That's the thing. It's even though it's in the framework, it's a version of the framework that's so, like this class is still pretty much the same. And yeah, there are classes, so we can do with it what we want. But yeah, we should definitely do some updating of it. It's probably a little bit
There
out
we
of date.
go. Well, you've committed to it now on this podcast. God,
Yeah.
unless you snip this shit out.
Yeah, I found about that Commuter things online. Building another little things with at the last meetup, someone gave a talk about scaling personal projects, and then I came away from that with I had an idea for a project I was thinking of doing for a while. So I've given that some more attention since that meetup, and was sort of thinking last night, like, can I get a public alpha of this before DrupalCon, which is in 3 weeks from the time of this recording? So yeah, I haven't quite put that on. I guess I have now. I haven't quite put that out there yet, but yeah, now I've done it, it gives you a bit of extra motivation, I suppose, to get things
Well,
done.
there you go. I'm gonna message you in 3 weeks' time to find out all about this public alpha.
Yeah, no, it seems to be, I don't know, I've already got enough stuff to do before then, but we'll see. I'm not speaking this time, so I've got a bit more time. Anyway, back to the topic. Static analysis. Let's start from the beginning. What is static analysis?
So static analysis is analyzing code without actually running it. So I suppose that's different to testing, whether it's automated testing or manual testing, where you're actually running either all the code or a little bit of code. Whereas with static analysis, you point a tool at the code and it will have a look at it and tell you any issues that it might find. So, and you can have lots of different types of static analysis. Perhaps some of the simpler static analysis tools just look at the formatting of the code, so like PHP CS Fixer, for example. It's looking at your code and maybe telling you, you haven't complied with whatever coding style standards we have. And then you can do, I suppose, more in-depth static analysis, so things like PHP Stan and SAMDU, and these look at your code in more depth. They have a better understanding of it, and then they might find problems or issues. So, for example, there might be a chance that a variable could be null, and the code can't cope with that variable being null. And actually, there's like hundreds of different tests that these more advanced tools, or hundreds of different checks that these more advanced tools do on your code base. So they might find things like, you've got type mismatches. So I don't know, the method's expecting a string and you're giving it something that isn't a string. So it can find lots and lots of bugs. And even if you have very high test coverage, the tests, they only tell you that for that particular scenario, the code is correct. Whereas static analysis can say, well, there is some scenarios in which this code will be problematic. So it's a very powerful tool, or they can be very powerful for preventing bugs. And then there's other kinds of arguably static analysis as well, something that could look at your schema definitions and then your actual database. I mean, maybe this isn't strictly static analysis because maybe we're running some SQL statements to check what your database schema looks like, but then it can check the schema matches up with the code. Yeah, I'd argue that's kind of in the domain of static analysis. But any kind of analysis you're doing where you're not really running the code and you're getting some results on it, that would kind of fall under the static analysis umbrella. I imagine we're mainly going to be talking today about tools like PHP Stan, as I think that's more advanced tool and certainly very useful for projects.
So I guess the typical way, whether it's an automated testing or static analysis tool, the way most people usually start, well, they'll type some code and then either try running it from a command line if it's a command line tool, or go into a browser and going to that endpoint or that page and think of something like a form maybe where they go in and fill it out and press save. They're not going to know that there's an error in that code until they click that button and it actually runs. Right. And then this is a particularly
That's
complicated
correct.
form, for example, that might be a long process just to fill that in. Whereas it sounds like static analysis will pick that up sooner, and you don't need to actually go through the whole process of
Well, I
filling
mean,
the
you still
form.
do need tests, but like in that example, maybe your test, when you're manually testing it, maybe you fill out every field in the form, and then whatever the form processing does, that works correctly. But let's just say, for example, you could fill in the form and some of these are optional fields and your test never had those options, never, checked the optional fields unset. But then later on, your code is expecting those fields. The form says they're optional, but the rest of the code thinks they're not optional. And that is something that static analysis tools could help you find issues with. You still need testing. Tests are the only way that you can assert that your code does what it's supposed to do, that it meets whatever requirements there are. But so coding kind of tells you for the scenarios. For the scenarios you tested, everything's fine, whereas static analysis can point out all of the issues that may, well, that probably wouldn't be covered by tests. Or they can tell you about issues that, well, a certain combination of things, well, this probably or this could be problematic. So it's very powerful. And the other great thing about static analysis is you just point it at your code and it will find loads and loads of issues. I think I started using PHP Stan in anger on a commercial project early 2020, and I think after about a day of it, it had found so many issues that I thought, oh, that would have been an absolute pain to find elsewhere. That I think I pretty much started sponsoring PHP Stan just then because of that. It has already saved me, whatever I was paying to sponsor it, just in a few hours.
Yeah, it's, if something like PHP Stan or a tool is going to go through and go, hey, this variable might be null in some use case that you hadn't thought of, like that would be a really difficult bug to try and track that down. Whereas, if it's going through like the different paths through the code and going, oh, there is this null use case that I hadn't, that maybe you hadn't thought of. And yeah, if you can do that quickly, I think you've done a talk before, I think actually, where you've got this graph and to fix it locally is like a really small bar because you can fix it really quickly. And then as you go through the stages and production takes the longest time and it's the most impact on the project and customers and things. So I guess it's
Yeah,
about
generally the
reducing
later
that
an
time.
issue is found, the higher the cost is to rectify that. And again, coming, I suppose, onto that point, your IDE, so if you're using a good one, is its own static analysis tool. So when you're typing away, when you're typing away, it's can have a deep understanding of the code, and when it is suggesting, say, a method call on a variable, it will present you with only the correct options. So you're typing your code, and it is suggesting the only three, for example, the only three public methods available, and that means that you're less likely to make a mistake because as you're typing the code, you're only typing semantically correct code in, and then as you start, the whatever parameters that method's got, it will tell you the types of those parameters. So, if it's expecting a string, you can't put an object into it. I suppose an object could have a toString method on it. But anyway, generally, it's giving you a lot of guidance. So yeah, when you're writing code, the chance of you adding mistakes is lower if you've got a good IDE, and also if you've written your PHP code, you've used types, because yeah, that gives information not only to the developers but also to tools like IDEs and static analysis tools to make sure you're using the code correctly.
So how much of it is based on using types? So there seem to be two groups in the PHP community, at least. That there's the group who really like things to be very strict and put types everywhere and parameter types and return types and everything, and those who typically don't. So is this something that works for both camps, or do we need a lot of type coverage to make static analysis work?
If you want to use the kind of the PHP Stan type static analysis, the more type information you have, the better. So, for example, in PHP, you could have a function say hello, and you could have dollar name as the parameter. And if you just did it like that, you don't really know what dollar name is. Maybe if the method's called or function's called say hello, maybe you'll infer that it's a string, but we haven't explicitly stated that. But of course, in PHP, we could say, well, this has to be a string, or maybe this has got to be a person object that we're going to say hello to. And I think to get the most out of static analysis, you really do need everything to be typed. The more type information you have, the more accurate the static analysis is, and the fewer bugs you will have. So if you are making code that's going to last a long time, it's going to have a lot of change to it that many developers are going to work on, then adding the type information in will make it easier for everyone. You know, people talk about things like clean code, and I don't know if there's really a proper definition of clean code, but when people are talking about clean code, they often say about things like self-documenting code, and adding the type information in is a form of self-documentation. You know, it's saying specifically these are the types that this I don't know, method takes, or this is the type that this method is going to return. And if you choose to not give that type information in, there's a lot more ambiguity. And okay, you might know the code base really well today, and you might think, well, I don't need that type information because I know what types everything is. And that might be okay, but you know, in 5 years' time, will you remember that? Will some other developer coming onto the project know what these types are? So I think really, if you're making clean code, it has to have type information. If you're making maintainable code, you need to add the type information. And the PHP type system is not complete yet. There's a whole thing like generics, for example. If you have an array, you can say the type is an array, but you can't at the language level say, and by the way, all the values in this array are personal objects. You can't do that in the language, but tools like PHP Stan allow you to give that additional information via the dot blocks, and it does its whole analysis based on that additional information that you give it. So yeah, difficult for the non-typers. You're not going to get as much value out of this tool.
And go back, and I'm going to find. I'm sure I've seen Nuno Maduro give a talk about PHP Stan or static analysis. And he starts out with a very minimal code base with no types. And I think even just adding it and even introducing it at a very low level, so we'll probably talk about levels in a minute, was able to show some things that he hadn't. Some bugs in our code, and then over a couple of different steps, he was, oh, we'll add this type in. And it wasn't reliant on types, but you could see that the more you types you added, the better results he got. And it was able to do things like you said about this collection is supposed to contain strings, but it's got an integer or something in it. So I'll have to dig that out, and I'll put a link to that one in the
Yeah.
episode notes as well.
I mean, certainly, so PHP Stan, it has, as you mentioned, this concept of levels. So level zero or level one, I can't remember what the lowest one is,
They keep
has the
changing.
has the fewest number of
They've also got
checks.
10 or 11 there as well,
Oh yeah,
which
so
is
they
going up
keep
the other
going
way
up.
as
So
well.
yeah. So in PHP Stan, the higher the level, each additional level brings in more and more checks. And I think it's not till around level four or five that a lot of the type checking comes in. So there will be things it finds at lower levels than that. But I always run these tools on one of the stricter levels. For PHP Stan, I'm level eight or higher. But actually, I come from a Java background. Well, I've used many programming languages, but even when I was doing PHP code, even in the PHP 5 days, I think I was using the Eclipse IDE back then, and you couldn't provide, you can, I think, maybe you could do object types for PHP 5, but you certainly can do primitive types, and you can, I don't think you could specify the return type. So I put all that information in the dot blocks, and it did mean that when we migrated these projects up to higher levels of PHP, it was easier to add in the type information because it was all there. And even though some of my static analysis is pointing at code written that long ago, you know, some of this code is like 8, 10 years old, it's still in the code base. Because I had the dot blocks, the static analysis would infer information from the dot blocks and say, oh, well, although he hasn't told me this parameter takes type person, I can see from the dot blocks that this parameter is type person. So I'll do my analysis based on that.
Interesting.
But yeah, you
Yeah.
can find things. You can find things without type information, but far fewer.
Yeah, so I think that's the couple of things usually I see from people discussing online about things like static analysis, particularly is around is it just adding types? Which level should I pick for my project? Should I always use the stricter one, or which is the right level for my project? Some people I'm saying about, am I just adding more code and making my code more complicated just to make it work with something like PHP Stan or static analysis? You mentioned adding lots of dot blocks and types, but yeah, I think I found situations where I needed to use almost like an assert that
Yeah.
says variable is an instance of something, just because I'm trying to run it at a higher level. So it's, my code is probably more, I'd say more complex, but
Yes.
more robust, I think, if I'm channeling my
Wow.
Acramius. I think I've been writing more robust.
Yeah, there are a couple of times when using these static analysis tools, you have to do a few bits to make them happier. You maybe have to put in a few assertions, or maybe you need to rewrite it in a way that static analysis can kind of understand it. So one example might be, let's say you've got a person object, and on that person object, like the email is, maybe it's supplied, maybe it isn't. And you might have a construct that says if person has email, and then the next step is I do something by doing person get email. And because you've called the has email method, that implies that if you called get email would never return null because the has email, see what I mean there. And if you just do that code out of the box, let's say the get email could return either an email address or null. But PHP Stan might, would look at the code and says, if person has email is true, then I'm going to do something. I'm going to get the email. I'm going to assume that must be non-null. And out of the box, PHP Stan will probably complain about that because he'll say, well, get email might return something nullable, and you're whatever you're doing with that is you're assuming it's not null. And I could see people getting frustrated by that because say, well, why can't it just look at the code and just see that these two things are related? And there is a way to relate those two methods by providing additional information to PHP Stan. If you really wanted to do that in-depth analysis, then it is very complicated. There would be a lot more, it would take a lot longer as well. So there are times like that where you kind of have to refactor your code slightly to keep PHP Stan happy, and or you can provide additional information via dot blocks. So I can see that frustration that people might have. But often, if you do rewrite your code in such a way that it keeps a static analysis tool happier, often it is easier to understand anyway, and like less likely to have, to have problems. So yeah, to keep these tools happy at the highest level, you need type information. And they might need to go and refactor your code or change things or add in assertions like symphony forms. You could say that this field in the form is not nullable. And if the form has passed validation, then that field will never be null. But that information at the moment, PHP Stan doesn't understand. So you then have to do an additional, like assert that it's not null, even though in real life that will never come to pass. So yeah, but on the whole, you're better off, I think, with static analysis, certainly on long running projects. Throwaway projects, you might not need this level of engineering. But yeah, there are definitely times when you have to do a bit to keep them happy.
Suppose the question really is not so much should you use it or not, but like I said, because there's different levels, you can pick the right level for the project or for the team. Like you don't have to go in and do level max, or you don't need to do strict rules. So I think you can go, we're going to use like a level 5. We can avoid, I think it's a non-iterable type array or something, some error you get when you get to about level 7 that you have to start giving it a lot more information. But
Yeah,
I
I
opt
think
into that on a lot of my projects. Like you said, you
yeah.
run them on a higher level. But I know I was writing some code for my side project. So I'm using non-empty string in a doc block. And it didn't like that because further on it said, well, it could be an empty string. So I had to then add assertions to make sure it was a string and B not equal to an empty string. So I've got two extra lines that in my code that wouldn't be there otherwise, but that's there because I've made a decision to go to be that strict in my code.
And those are frustrations. I mean, I think if a lot of these things can be alleviated if you kind of look at the boundary of your code. So back of the boundaries might be controllers, or they might be commands. And at or even database access. I suppose pulling things off a queue. But these are all of the kind of boundaries to your code, where you're interfacing with something external. And then at that point, if you validate that, this is a non-empty string, for example, and then maybe don't pass them around as strings, maybe pass them around, like for example, if you had something, a string that normally represented a name, and said, well, name can't be empty, you could have a name value object, and it's just a wrapper for the string, but you would construct it, and you would say, you'd say this is a not empty string, and your return type would say this is not empty string, and it's only at that boundary to the system, only the bit where you create this for the first time, like maybe you're getting that data from a database table, or maybe you're getting that data from a form and a controller. So at that point, yeah, you validate it, and then from with everywhere else in the system, you're passing around this name object, which we've said is a non-empty string, and that kind of keeps static analysis happy. And again, it's just doing things like that, pushing your validation to the boundaries of your system is what you should be doing anyway. And then inside, you should arguably be passing around things not as primitive types, but as value objects, where you could add those additional assertions on. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Like one of the things I was thinking about is like license key. So the people need to have a license key generated, and that's how I'm linking the two things together. So data gets sent in to a essentially a webhook endpoint as JSON, and there's a license key and some information along with that. But yeah, that's one of the things I'm checking. So it's a non-empty string. So it needs to be a string, but it also needs to be not an empty string. But what you're suggesting, maybe I actually do make like a license key class and then wrap that as a value object.
And they're so lightweight
Interesting.
these days. It's just a class license key, private read only, sorry, public read only, string license key, and with the dot plot saying this is a non-empty one. I mean, so
That's
lightweight to make
interesting.
these things. And then we don't need to be using primitives really anywhere in your system. I mean, there are times it is probably worth doing it, but a lot of the primitive types you're probably better off having as value objects. And again, I'm only talking about systems that are, throwaway code. You wouldn't need this level of engineering, but stuff that's going to be around for a few years, or many developers are going to be working on it. Again, it just means you're likely to make fewer mistakes because, if you've got a method that requires not just any old string, but a license string, you can say, I expect a license string. So you just pass that in. And then it's giving additional information that means that other developers can go, oh, this isn't any old string, this is a license key string. But that additional information is also available to the static analysis tools to make sure you're only passing, in a license key string.
That's interesting. So I assume I can just move the like I'm still in the spike phase of this, and I got some refactor comments like refactor this to be a data transfer object and use a serializer here. So I'm spiking a lot of it out at the moment. But yeah, that I guess if I was to make a license key class, and then you could also add more things around it. So maybe it needs to be a certain length of string as well, or maybe it can't contain another number zero for some reason, or some sort of business logic. You could, is it essentially like you check all that when you construct a new instance. I think we're getting quite techy here, but we're
Yes.
constructing that. Is that what we're doing there? Is you're moving that sort of assertion there, encapsulating it inside that value object, and then as far as all the rest of the code is concerned, it's pre-checked because you've already checked
Yes.
it when you construct it.
Yeah, it's
Interesting.
yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, even if you don't do all those additional checks, the fact that you're
You could.
differentiating any string from a license key value string will mean that there's less chance of somebody making a mistake, you know. Like if you had, I don't know, a company and you had a dollar address, you go, well, what is that? Is that a physical address? Is that an email address? You know. Again, making these into their own value objects will just reduce the chance of people passing the wrong thing to the wrong parameter, and but yeah, those kind of
Interesting.
problems get solved.
Yeah. But I definitely see the benefit of even just making it more readable for me as well. Or, other people come onto a project later on, they can read it and go, oh, that's a license key string. Yeah, it's more readable if you were going through it line by line.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Generally, what makes your code, in my opinion, more readable also is better code for static analyzers. There are exceptions, but yeah.
Yeah,
I
that
would
makes
actually say a
sense.
static analysis tool like PHP Stan has improved my coding. Yeah, and
Yeah,
mainly just to keep it
I'd say the
happier.
same. Yeah, I'd say the same. And then I have to sort of, sometimes I'm doing work on a project and people are like, why are you writing it that way? And it's like, excited to simply opt in for the PHP Stan strict rules package. So it also then says you can't do like empty on an array. You have to make sure it's not null, or there's some extra rules that it adds in as well. So I find myself writing code in that way, first of all, and people will go, oh, you could just use empty here. I'm like, I could, but because I've opted in for this extra level of strictness because things need to be more strict, apparently. It's,
Well,
yeah,
I
definitely
think,
impacted the way I code.
yeah, I think the longer running your project is, or the more developers are working on it, the stricter you need to be. And you've got to be strict with yourself as well. You know, if you're working on projects 4 or 5 years' time that will run for 4 or 5 years or longer, there's no way you're going to remember something that you wrote, the intricate details about something you wrote 5 years ago. So again, if it's really clear, it's helpful to both you as well as other developers.
I can't remember what I did last week. I think this is why I
Walk
write, I have
around.
to write everything down. This is why I do testing and statics and ADRs and everything, because I can't remember why I did that thing when I started this job 3 years ago, or whatever the case, or when I started this project, 5 years ago. Not quite up to a decade yet, but yeah, no, it's just nice not to have to be able to keep that everything in your brain, and you can sort of let the computer do that. That's what it's
And the
for.
other thing is, if it's a static analysis tool telling a developer they've made a mistake, that is much better than in code review, because you know, I mean, you can get cross with a static analysis tool, but it doesn't care, you know. It's not going to wave a well, you know, and you know, generally you don't even pass on the code to manual review until it's passed all of its, you know, automated checks. In fact, one project we're working on now, predominantly me and Tom, who I work with, we were working on it, and we had all of these conventions that were in our heads. You kind of had this bit at the start, oh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And then it's kind of set in stone, and we know it, but we've never really written it down properly, or maybe it's somewhere. And then we recently had a team of developers join that project. And all of a sudden, we're going, oh, no, we've got this convention. This is how we do things. For example, we use the repository pattern for database access. And our convention is, if you call an accessor method like find by email, the expectation is somebody, if it's a personal repository and we've got find by email. We think, well, there's a chance if we're using something called find that maybe there isn't a person with that email address. Whereas if we were saying get by ID, because it's get, we are absolutely expecting an entity with that ID in the database.
Interesting. Yeah.
And
Subtle, but
if
you're
that
right.
doesn't exist, we're going to throw an exception. So this find and this get, this is, I mean, maybe no one else in the entire world uses that convention, but this is a convention that we use. So when I'm reading the code, it's like, oh, get, well, I expect that to return something, that's telling me something different than a find method. And actually with PHP Stan, you can create custom rules, which is what we did. And we've created some custom rules that enforce that coding standard, whether you agree with it or not, that's what it is. And that meant that, okay, the first time a developer came along and they did something, oh no, we've got this convention. Yeah, it's kind of in that document over there, but I can understand why. Maybe you haven't, there's lots of documents to read. But now we've enforced it by static analysis, and you can even give like tips who say this, this is a get method, but he said it returns null, and we don't expect get methods to return. If you call it get, and maybe you should call it find. So you can give like little tips as well, so that it kind of makes your it makes it more scalable now, because if every time, somebody comes to your project and they do something which doesn't fit in with the convention, and you can automate that check, it means that when another developer comes on board, there'll never be that problem again. They'll hit the problem the first time, and then there'll be a little message that says what they've done wrong, and then they won't make that mistake. And that actually reduces the whole code review process as well, because you're not passing something back to someone just to go around a loop which an automated tool could have found for you. And those level of, to be able to say that, get and a find method on a repository have to behave in a certain way, you can only really do that kind of analysis at something at the level where PHP Stan is operating at. So that's quite useful. And then the other thing is, every time you have a bug that gets all the way through to live, or even just something that you catch, you should be asking yourself the question, is there a way we could prevent either that bug or similar bugs from happening again? So an embarrassing one for me. So I've written a PHP, it's called PHP Language Extensions, and it provides new language features for PHP, but they are kind of enforced by static analysis. And I've written a PHP extension for this. And what happens is, you create all of these rules, and if you're creating a PHP extension which you want to share with other people, then normally you create this like extension.neon file. And what happens is, when the other people get your use your extension, they put in their PHP Stan config, or it actually can do it automatically. It goes and looks for the extension.neon file, and the extension.neon file lists all of the rules. And the mistake I'd made, and I even published it live, is I had all of these tests for all of these new rules that I had, but I forgot to put one of them in the extension.neon file. So it meant that if someone else was using it, they wouldn't have access to that rule, because I'd
I see.
forgotten to, link it back. So then I wrote a custom PHP Stan rule that looks through all of my rules and checks that they are referred to in the extension.neon file. So what it was is, I made a bug, it essentially got released, so it got through to production. And I thought, how can I prevent myself from making that issue again? I thought, oh, I wonder if I could make a rule that will, check that all my rules are referred to in the extension.neon file. It's quite easy to do. I did that, and now that means, in future, if I ever make that mistake again, this rule will say, "Hang on a minute, Dave, you've forgotten to do this." And that kind of workflow: look at a bug, go back to the root cause. Can we automate the detection of it? And this is where things like PHP Stan custom rules are super powerful, because sometimes you can, and it's yeah, I think it's, yeah, really useful for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I saw you give a talk fairly recently, I think, which was covering custom rules and types. And they got quite complex and quite in depth, but the value I think you got from them, was, I can't remember, it was a framework migration talk maybe. But yeah, I definitely came away from that and went, oh, that I could see how it's great you can do that. And also I can see the value from doing it as well.
I mean, there's lots of features in PHP and other languages that are there really for communicating intent to other developers. For example, the fact you might mark a method public or private. I mean, in compiled languages, you might get some performance benefit from that, but largely in PHP, if anything, it slows it down having to do these checks. But the reason you've marked something public or private is not for the language. The language doesn't care. It's for other developers. And yeah, the PHP extension library, I don't know if you can, in the program notes, if you can link to it, but that's actually got some additional features that might one day be part of the PHP language. But it's just for example, one of them is namespace visibility. So you could mark a class as namespace visibility, and that means only classes in the same namespace can use it, can call methods on it. So for example, often in code, well, often code I write, maybe I have a lot of classes that kind of collaborate with each other, and they're only really there. Maybe I've got like a price calculator class, which is to be used by many parts of the code base, but the price calculator class collaborates with three or four other classes, which are just to help it. And these three or four other classes, I only want to be used by price calculator. So I've got them in the same namespace, but in PHP, I can't enforce that these other supporting classes are only used by classes within the same namespace. Whereas in languages like Java, you have this package level visibility, which we don't have in PHP. And I've created this namespace visibility attribute, which you would put on either a class or a method, and it means only things in that namespace can then access it. So, and this is something that might one day be part of the PHP language, but until it is, I can code that up in half a day. If I was doing an RFC, it wouldn't make it to the language for years, probably. So that's another quite nice thing about these tools. You can extend the language to provide additional information for other developers. So, they look in and go, oh, this class, I see, yeah, it's kind of a supporting class for another class. So I probably shouldn't be calling this from outside that namespace, if you see what I mean. So that's, it's, I like the power that these things can give us.
Are we bordering on architectural testing here? Because I know we've there's things like that, which Pest has architectural tests now, and I know there's things like PHP 8e that are like you can't use, you can only use a repository and a controller, or there's that sort of level of things. Like, are we starting to get into that area now? We're talking about you can only call this
A lot
class from
of,
this.
yeah, I mean, I would say even visibility modifiers are a type of architectural constraint. You can only use private from within the class. So yeah, PHP 8e, that's quite interesting. It's a plugin. It's a PHP stan extension,
Is it
and
okay?
you I think that's yeah PHP 8e, yeah. And you write tests, say you could write things like what you're saying, that controllers can only call, I don't know, service classes. You could implement architectural patterns, for example, like hexagonal architecture or some kind of layered architecture. Or if you're building things, you might have like a modular monolith. So we are, yes, it's a monolith that we're, it's all in one repo and it's a single deployable entity, but actually we want to break this up into sections, and we want to make sure that one chunk of code can't talk to another chunk of code, because, or directly anyway, because maybe one day that will get split off into its own service. So, you could start, certainly if you're on a small project, the concept of doing microservices is a bit ridiculous, if you're a small team. But actually it's a way of starting, because one day you think, well, that is a whole section of functionality that does deserve its own service for if there are good reasons for it. So yeah, the architectural testing is good, and got these architectural patterns for reasons. It's so that reducing coupling and generally leading to a more maintainable code base in the longer run. But yeah, you can certainly use PHP stan for that as well.
Yeah, it's just looking at that. I think Rob and I talked about, and I talked about DDD, and I was going to look at, I've seen situations where different Drupal modules and in the same site are starting to talk to each other, and it's like they probably shouldn't. There should be some boundaries around that. So yeah, I started to look at PHP 80, and it actually says, yeah, PHP Architecture Tester is a static analysis tool designed to verify architectural requirements. So that's great. I hadn't made that mental sort of connection, but I'm glad I have now.
And if you're talking about DDD as well, you have a language that describes, you've got things like I've got entities, I've got value objects, I've got aggregates, and so on and so forth. What you could start doing is you could label, you could have a value object attribute, which you would put on the value object class. And then you could have a tool that then asserts that it really is a value object,
Okay.
I suppose a value object would have to be final read only and have no mutable state, for example. So you could create a rule that enforces that. So all the things you've marked as value objects have that. If it's an entity, you could say, well, I've got to make sure there is one ID for that entity. And if it's so you could mark it as an entity, and then you could do validation to make sure that that entity complies with the DDD definition of an entity, and so on and so forth. So these are additional things you can do, or maybe how you're named, maybe you don't need to put an attribute on it, maybe just the name of it is enough. And then you can have tools that say, hang on a minute, you said this was a value object, but did you mean to have this mutable state in it? Because then it's not a value object, So it's just things
Interesting.
like that, which the more you look at static analysis, the more you can see it can help you prevent making mistakes, which is why I get so excited about it.
Yeah, it's the same. I see what people say about testing. Say I'm lazy, so I write tests because I don't want to have to go and fix bugs later on. I can see this being in the same sort of area. Yeah.
I mean, I would say I'm not a good enough developer to not use static analysis. I'll make too many mistakes.
Interesting.
You've
Yeah.
got to be a really good developer to not use it. You've got to be a really good developer to not need tests, and
Yeah. Or
nobody's
ID
that good.
completion or anything.
Well, this is
Yeah.
it. It's I mean, I would like to see I do use a bit of Copilot, GitHub Copilot. And what I really want is that fused with static analysis, so that maybe if GitHub Copilot starts suggesting options, it could then just reality check them with static analysis to say, well,
Yeah,
that you know
okay.
what? I mean, I can see what you're doing. I can see why you maybe would have a method name like that, but this class doesn't have a method like that. So you can't even suggest that. That would be so useful,
Yeah, you should be using a find here instead of a get, which I think is
Yeah,
a really
something like
interesting
that.
idea. Found a blog post somebody just has written about that idea, so I'm gonna have a
Oh,
read through that
brilliant.
and probably put it
Did
in the
they agree with
notes.
it? Did we get it the
I
right way
think
around?
so. Yeah, I'm gonna read
Oh,
it
that's
properly
useful to
later on,
know.
but I think it's the same sort of idea. But yeah, there's a good idea for a daily email on there. Okay, just keep an eye on the time. If this sounds interesting to people and they've presumably got a project and they want to add static analysis to it, and probably sort of, oh, we've got this project and it's probably gonna have loads of bugs to start off with, that's there. How would they go about doing that, in your opinion?
Doing that. Generally, even if you think you have the most wonderful code ever, it's static analysis, things like PHP Stan probably will still find many, many issues. So you've got two options really. One option is you could start running PHP Stan at a low level, like level zero, and you go, right, I'm going to add it to my project, and we're going to get rid of all of the issues it found at level zero. And to be honest, if you've got a project that has been running for some time, I imagine you wouldn't really have many of those, if it's running in production. So you could go, I'm going to fix all the level zero ones, and then what you could do, and then I'm going to make it as a requirement of CI that PHP Stan has no issues at level zero. And then you could say, right, we are going to bump up to level one. So if you are doing this, you kind of, I think you need two PHP standard config files. One is the one that you use in CI, and one might be the one that you're targeting at, which will have a higher level in it. And then maybe you say, well, I don't know, every day I'm going to run it at PHP standard level one, and I'm just going to pick two or three things that I'm going to fix and check that in. And eventually you'll have got rid of all the level one zero, all the level one issues, and then you keep going up and up and up till eventually you're done. So that's one way you could do it. I mean, the problem with that is while you're down at level two or three, you could still be introducing bugs that could be found by PHP Stan on a stricter level. And I would only really advise that if your code is in a real state and doesn't really have any type information. The other way is to run it at a higher level. So I think it's around four or five where it starts doing a lot of the type checking, and level eight is where it does the null checks. So depending on how what your type coverage of your code is, I would think about trying to run it at, I don't know, somewhere between five and eight. The higher, the better. And then you'll run it through and you'll say, oh, we've found thousands of issues. And what you can do is you can use PHP Stan's baseline feature. So you would run it and say, I'm going to add all of these things to a baseline. And what that means is the next time you run PHP Stan and it finds these issues, it will say, is this issue in the baseline? And if it is, then it won't report it. So it's only going to show you new issues. And that's really good because then you can have PHP Stan running at a very strict level, stop you introducing bugs, but you don't have to go through and fix everything immediately. Again, I'd kind of recommend you trying to fix a few per day, you know, or when you've got a bit of downtime between tasks, you know, it's 10 to 5, you're going to finish at 5, I've got 10 minutes, what shall I do? Just, you know, make a PR with a fix in it. So this way of working is kind of what I use. I actually use a different baseline tool because when I started this, PHP Stan didn't have a baseline. So I use a tool called SARB, Static Analysis Results Baseliner. And that actually works in a slightly different way to PHP Stan in that it tracks issues using Git. So one advantage of SARB over the PHP Stan way is that if you rename a file, in PHP Stan world, it would say, like, suppose you had 15 issues in a file and you renamed it, it would say, well, these are 15 new issues. Whereas SARB would be clever. Well, it's not clever, it uses Git's cleverness to go, oh, okay, well, that file was there and now it's here. So these are essentially the same 15 file, you know, issues. You've just renamed them. But yeah, it's whatever baselining tool you use. They are there to help you run PHP Stan at a higher level. And so you get the benefits of a stricter analysis, but without having to go and fix everything first. And SARB actually has quite a nice feature where you can just it just pulls out five issues that it found in the last run and still in the baseline, and it does it at random.
That's
So
cool.
I found that's really useful. The randomness is quite cool because it picks that five and you go, I'll just fix that one, oh, you know what, that's a bit of a pain. And you just run it again and it picks another few. And eventually you'll have to deal with all the difficult ones. But if you just want some quick wins, you go, oh, I don't like that one, just, you know, roll the dice again and buy me some other simpler one to fix. So, and actually, over time, even if you don't routinely go and fix things in the issue, just because when you touch bits of the code base, you can just, you know, slowly tidy them up. There is one thing I would say, but I don't know, we're probably running over on time. But if you have got a code base which is missing type information, what I would suggest is your interim is to put your best guess of what that type is as a dot block first. Because if you've got code that's running and you add an actual type in and that is wrong, then the code that was running will now not no longer
It's gonna
run
break.
and it's going to break. And if you start doing that, you know, and people say, well, you've added a static analysis tool and now we're actually getting genuine outages, I don't think you should be using this tool. This is clearly detrimental. If you initially put them in the dot blocks, And you just build that up over time. I mean, if you're absolutely confident that you know the actual type, that's fine. So, often the return types you probably could work out because you say, I've looked at all the routes through this and it only returns a string. Maybe your private methods, you might know, definitely know the types because you can see where they came from in the public methods. But once you get to your public methods, you've got to go, I've got to know every single thing that's called this to know what the type is. So if you put them in dot blocks first, it's not going to break your code, but PHP Stan or SAM or your IDE will use that information. And then eventually you'll have put dot blocks everywhere. And if there are no issues, if PHP Stan says this is all fine, then it is safe to convert those from dot blocks into actual types.
Interesting.
In, yeah, be careful around the your boundaries. You've always got to validate, but within the boundaries of your code, you could do that. So initially, and there were tools, Rector, for example, that will take your dot blocks and move them into actual types. But
I was
yeah,
going to say, I'm sure there's
if you've
something that
got a
does that.
creaking, sorry,
I was going to say, I'm sure there's something that does that.
it's all that does it. Yeah. But if you've got an old code base, don't risk breaking it by putting hard types in until you know it's safe to do that.
Interesting. That's really good advice.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to have a look at Saab again as well. I know you mentioned before it uses Git. I hadn't quite realized that that's why it was using it, but
Why does
or
it?
what it was
Yeah.
doing. So yeah, I'm going to look at that again. Because typically, I just use
I
the
mean, I'd
PHP
say
Stan baseline. So,
yeah,
yeah.
for PHP, if you're using it, fine. I'd use the PHP stan baseline. Like, if it's working for you, I'd definitely use that over anything else. Saab you can use for any static analysis tool. We used it for ESLint or MonProject. Project.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
Interesting.
so.
I'll put a link to that in the notes as well. If people want to find you online after listening to this, where can they do so?
I'm basically at Dave Liddiment everywhere. Naming is hard, so I just use my name. So you can find me on X. You can find me on Mastodon on the PHP community, LinkedIn. I love talking about this. So if you've got questions, then yeah, fire away. Absolutely love talking about this. I've done talks about this, which you can. I've got a website actually, davidliddiment.co.uk. All my talks are linked from there, and there's quite a few along this theme. Turn up to PHP Southwest when we have no other speakers, and that's probably what you'll end up hearing me waffle on about static analysis. But yeah, if you've got any questions about it, then more than happy to discuss it. And if you disagree, as probably many of you will, about the things I've said in this, absolutely happy to have a discussion about that as well. So yeah, I mean, I could probably fill a whole day of this, but we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, we've probably both got work to do. Yeah, cool. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for joining me on the podcast and coming to speak
No,
about static analysis. It's been
I've
an
enjoyed it
interesting
all.
conversation.
Yeah.
We've
So
got
much more to chat
no
about as well. So,
definitely. Well, as I say, I'm sure
yeah.
we'll pick up this conversation again either at the meetup or at the pub or at a
Yeah.
conference. Is
Brilliant.
PHP UK is probably the next big conference. So
Oh, yes. That is
CFPs are open.
CFP's open. I think it's Wednesday, the 19th of Feb. It's a great conference. So, yeah, you can get early bird tickets right now, actually. So, yeah.
Cool.
Save for
Thanks for
that.
joining me, Dave. It's
No,
been
thank you very
great.
much for the opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks
Catch up
everyone
soon.
again. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis, and we'll see you on the next episode.